Hey guys, it's Doc from DLC. It's the 25th of April. I've been fortunate enough to catch up with the CEO of African Potash, Chris Cleverly. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Doc. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Okay, you put an announcement out last week. The market didn't take it particularly well. Shares kind of halved that day. I believe you've been at the investor show over the weekend, which has no doubt thrown up a lot of questions. Naturally, there's a big audience out there wanting to know a bit more, and if you could give an overview, that'd be great.
Yeah, clearly was a lot of it was clearly oversold on after the RNS. There was about, I think, 160 million trades, about 120 million of which were buys in the end. I think the RNS was probably misinterpreted. There was clearly on our side of things, there was a we've got a very new business. Originally, the business was as you know, was Lekdika, which was an exploration project. It is an exploration project in the Republic of Congo. The value of that business is on our books at about 6 million sterling, 7 million sterling, which is about the price of where the market cap is at the moment. So what it's done is it hasn't now priced in at all the fact that we do have a trading business. We have actually spent probably about 8 months building it. So it's still very new, but we're building this business. And the RNS relates to our first trade, well, second trade, which is the 20,000 tons being sold into Zambia. That's to one purchaser in Zambia, not all purchasers. It's to one country in our contract with Gamesa, not all 20 countries. So we've got lots of places where we are doing deals, but everyone's focusing, obviously, on this initial one. But unlike other businesses which made a central one, exploration or oil well, obviously there's plenty of other customers and plenty of other deals to do. And also, of course, this deal is not itself dead. It's open to us on the paperwork we've done if we wanted to obviously sue the customer, but that's not necessarily the best way to go or the first step necessary for us to go. So we're working with them at the moment to see how we can actually take it forward. But obviously, at this present time, it's important for us to let the market know what's going on, as we did do on the February the 9th as well, when we said that the payment was still pending. Of course, pending means that it's not settled or decided. So, you know, we're working with them. What seems to have been missed is that there's obviously another trade was mentioned in the RNS, which was a bigger trade for $4 million, up to $4 million, with Niombo, which is probably we wouldn't know here because we're not involved in the fertilizer trade. Most people aren't, but those people who do know would know that that's the number one trading entity for fertilizer in Zambia, and for 10 years has sold over 200,000 tons to the Zambian government. But also that trade, with the trade is with Sapphire Wealth, providing the finance, and Sapphire Commodities, which is an entity owned by the Bell owner, Bell being a partner of ours and a partner of Bolloré, the sixth biggest logistics company in the world. So unless, you know, if people have discounted the value of that completely, which seems to be at the moment in the share price, because the share price at the moment is about, as I said, £6 million, £7 million, which is only the value of our exploration sites, then they completely discounted that the possibility of us actually having a trading business. So from that point of view, Doc, I'd say that at the moment it's substantially undervalued.
All right, so just to clear a few things up, you didn't take any liability on that 20,000 tons that you'd announced. There's obviously been issues with that.
Yeah, just dealing with that. So on the 20,000 tons, you're absolutely right. We haven't taken any liability on. Because there is a drought, which is the reason for that 20,000 tons being delayed in payment, it's affected everyone. It's not just us as the new boys on the block. Everyone's been affected. Some massive cut companies, leaving open massive opportunities for people who might be interested in mergers and acquisitions. But more importantly, there's something like 800,000 tons of fertilizer was unsold in the region. Not our 20,000, 800,000, just in South Africa alone, because of the drought. It's a very, very severe drought. But of course, Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe, these countries, you know, Rwanda, whatever, these countries are not deserts. So the drought will
So we've got a deal that's up in the air. You're going to go to try to find some kind of a resolution with that particular partner. You've struck a bigger deal with a major partner out in country. We know they're going to need to buy fertilizer. We know you're taking no risk and liabilities on the initial deal, which is hanging in the balance, so to speak. Yet the market doesn't value any of that into the share price.
Yeah, just the only thing that's valued is Ladinka. So look, go figure. Look, the biggest issue I think with all these things is sometimes people forget that AIM is not a market for utilities. It's a market for people who have ventures, and that every worthwhile endeavour that's ever succeeded has first met obstacles. Even ones here where there's no particular risk to ourselves, everything in life has some sort of an obstacle. In this case, it was an act of God. It was a drought. It took the whole industry by surprise. We all learn from our obstacles and mistakes, and overcoming these are necessary for as precursors for success. So really, what we're doing here is we've created a scenario in which we've limited our risk, which shows our experience. We've increased our opportunity, which shows our ability. And if we combine both these things, I'm sure people will actually see that this is, remains a great opportunity, a great company to be in the future. You know, it takes time to actually develop these things. And obviously, we've only been going since the Comesa agreement was signed in August last year. But some people have noticed that, and that's why we are still an incredibly liquid stock. Out of the 160 million shares traded, 120 million were traded on Friday alone, 120 million were traded as buys, and 40 as sells. So that sort of tells you something, that someone knows what they're doing and someone's going to make a lot of money.
What do you say to the naysayers, the detractors, the people that say that this, was all a load of kind of hocus pocus or bluff and blunder, and now, the realities that, starting to surface, the heat coming out of the stock. What do you say to those people? Because there's a lot of speculation out there. And naturally, I don't think, there's been a fair level of commentary. Naturally, you've not broken cover until today. I know you were at the show, obviously, over the weekend, which, it says a lot about your integrity. You're prepared to go along there and speak to people. But what do you say to those naysayers?
This isn't an oil company where one missed well is the end of the business. This is fertilizer. It's like selling food. There's going to be a buyer. But more importantly than that, we've actually placed ourselves now in a position. You don't do deals with people like Neombo unless they respect you and believe that you have a value in the deal. You don't do deals of the sort that we're doing. You don't meet people like President Museveni unless you have the president of Uganda, unless you have those kind of positions in place. So, yes, there is a drought in Africa, but it's a drought in southern Africa. We were focused in and around that region. But it does mean that we're now going to look to diversify our geographical position, as you saw when I went to Uganda, where there isn't a drought.
Right. So
the opportunities actually are increasing in many ways.
All right, so would it be fair to say it's a bit of short-term pain?
Well, I think it's just dance in public. That's what happens when you go onto the market and you change your business model. Actually, we're on the market. We can help being on the market. That's where we were. We decided to look for revenue. That's what we did. We found an amazing opportunity, signed an amazing contract, put together an amazing board, and now we're learning to make that company dance in public. So people can either have a look at it and say, well, look, we believe in the team. We believe in the model. We think that these people who've signed up, our partners at Bolloré, are the biggest traders in Zambia, wouldn't do it unless there was a value in this business and with this model. So it's really up to each person to see what they want to do. But AIM is for startup businesses, and this is a startup with huge potential. And I hope people can see how hard we work. And I hope people can know that not just having the vision, which we had, but there's a hell of a lot of tenacity and persistence has gone on into this.
All right, that's CEO Chris Cleverley of African Potash. Thanks for coming on, Chris.
All right, mate.
Yeah, we'll
speak to you again, Doc.
Cheers. Thanks, matey.